This morning, I just want to talk briefly on children of God versus sons of God. By virtue of creation, God created all. So he becomes the father of all because he created all mankind. Not just mankind, but animals and birds and trees and whatever you can call that was ever created. So because of that, any man can say God is my father. But it's a different thing when you say God is my father and when you say I am God's son. Where we read in the scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So meaning that even though God created you or all, but if you are not led by the Spirit, you are not God's son, but you are God's creation. And then just before I go on, I just want to leave that big question to us. Are you just among the children of God, or can you boldly say, I am God's son? The condition for his sonship is that you are being led by the Spirit. Now, it's only those who are led, who through the atonement of Christ comes to God, are his sons. Number one thing that makes you son of God is that you have taken advantage of the atonement. And when we say this, we always go back to the fall of man, right in the garden. When man sinned against God, when man disobeyed God, and man was eternally separated from God. And man was denied access to divine blessings, to divine things, because of sin. The Bible said that, when we talk about sin, who has sinned? The Bible said that all have sinned. You, me, and anybody that can be somebody. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible did not stop there. It also tells us that the wages of sin is death. Yes. Meaning, if the wages of sin is death and all have sinned, then you should have been dead and gone by now. You shouldn't have been here looking at me. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I discovered that while so many times people play with their faith, play with Christianity, is because they don't understand what Jesus did for us. Yes. We are too good in celebrating the Easter, but do we really understand what that meant? Do we really understand the great deliverance that we received by that thing that happened within that few days of Easter? Especially the Sunday morning. Because if Jesus has died and didn't come, like there was no resurrection, then our hope would have been in vain. Yes. That was why the devil did everything. The powers that was in heaven and on earth did everything to stop him from coming up. Mm. But he triumphed over death. Yes. And became victorious. Amen. Even over the grave. Yes. And that is the whole hope. And that is the whole assurance we have. And that's why so many times when we play with what we have or what God has given us or the opportunity God has given us, I tell you there are so many people that desire to be like you and I, be in church where we are. They want to, but they can't. Ask me why, I don't know. The will, there is willingness in them to serve God, but the ability to carry out the willingness is not there. So it's a privilege that we wanted to serve God and we are able to have the opportunity to hear what we are hearing, to worship him, to sing and to praise him, you know, and to make melody in the house of God. Mm-hmm. That we should not take for granted. Yes. So we have to understand that it took God himself in the form of Jesus a lot. It took him a lot to make us sons of God. It took him a lot to reconcile us back to God. It took him his life. He suffered a lot of things just to bring us back to God. And this we shouldn't take for granted. Because it's not just that we are pleading to us not to take it for granted. We have the right to take it for granted, but we are going to regret it. But I pray that that's not going to be our portion. Because as many as will deny God, Jesus says, those that confess me here on earth, I will confess them before my Father. But those that will deny me here, even before God, I will deny them. I know you not. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. And nobody prays that this will be the last thing you're going to hear after you close your eyes in death. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. And once you close your eyes in death, the next moment is judgment. You face the judgment. And that is when you understand the reality of the scriptures. Now we can play with the Bible, we can play with the word of God and call it any name, but when you close your eyes, the door of grace is closed. Then you will face to face with the reality of the word of God. Why do we hear this now? Why do God talk to us before time? Because there is a point of no return. There is a point of no return. There is where you will get to. Even though you want to, you cannot anymore. Now is the time we have the opportunity to align ourselves with God, to study the word of God, to worship God, to serve God, and to live our lives to honor God. Because if our life does not honor God here on earth, I tell you that day we are going to hear the pet from me, you worker of iniquity. Because if you are not led by the Spirit of God, then you are led by your own spirit. If you don't live by the dictates of the Spirit, then you live by the dictates of the flesh. Flesh is powerful. I will not deny that. Very strong. This thing we see is very strong. Unless we harden up to disobey this thing. Unless we turn our heart and says, no, I can't give you everything you want. I can't give you all you want. Because the flesh, the Bible says, the flesh lusts against the spirit. And the spirit is just, there is battle between our flesh and the spirit. What the spirit wants contradicts what the flesh wants. And the flesh hates what the spirit wants. And we have the flesh with us. And the Holy Spirit is somewhere appealing to us to listen to him, to obey him, to let us. The issue is this. Bible, that scripture we read in Romans says, for the spirit beareth witness to our own spirit that we are sons of God. Sometimes when people say, I'm just confused. I don't know if you can never be confused about being a child of God. There is no confusion about it. If you are, you know. If you are not, you know. It doesn't matter whether we all come to church and we all sing together. But everybody knows his or herself. If you are living in the will of God, you know. If you are the son of God, the Bible says the Spirit of God will bear witness in your own spirit. It's all about how do you obey. Nobody is perfect. I am not. Nobody is perfect. And as long as we are still wearing this flesh and blood, we are prone to so many mistakes and so many disobedience and so many things we can talk about. We're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about submission. How much do you submit to the will of God? We're not saying you're going to be perfect, because there is no perfection until we take away this thing. Until we wear off this flesh, no man can be perfect. So we are not talking about perfection, but we are talking about submission. How much are you able to submit to the leadings of the Spirit? And how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? He speaks to us through the Word of God. You come to church, you are listening to the Word of God. He's speaking to you. You open your Bible to read, if you do at all. He's speaking to you over the radio, over the television. I mean, Bible said you are inexcusable, O man. There is no way we can excuse ourselves. We can never say we did not hear. Because everywhere, turn the television, turn your car, everywhere the Word of God is going on. It's not that we are not hearing. It's not that we have not heard. But it is about obedience. It is about submitting yourself to the perfect will of God. It is how much we give in. One thing I know God for, God has given us volition. Right from the Garden of Eden, God gave us volition. God did not want to be our God or our Father by divide and rule law. Like, it's either you obey me or I will kill you. That is not God. But God will present the good and tell us how bad the bad is and how good, and he will let us choose. It's choice. And that is what is killing so many people. You know, so many times in this country, I look at how pedestrians cross over the road. The car is coming. They don't even care because of the law of pedestrians. And I laugh and I say, if they just be looking at you, hit me now and you go to jail. Now, supposing he hits you and you are not alive, even though he goes to jail, who lost? He will be in jail, within some time he will come out. Supposing he hits you and your leg is broken, the law of pedestrian will not stop the car from breaking your hips. Neither will stop the car from killing you. So is it not better to forget about the law and be safe? You know, sometimes all these things, the people just want to, I know my right. You can never be playing with death. Amen. So that's the same thing with God. God has given us volition, you know, all to do. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you are going to serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. You have the right to choose. The duty of the church is to bring information, educate you about the Christian living. But the choice is yours. But at the end of it all, when you close your eyes in death, choice is no longer going to save you. You are going to face reality. God, we're talking about grace. Grace does not exceed death. Once you close your eyes in death, the door of grace is closed. That same God you see as a merciful God, you are going to see him as a consuming fire. At that point, he will know no mercy. At that point, he will not laugh with you. At that point, he will not consider you. At that point, grace will never speak for you. It is reality. While they breathe and while they walk around, they are already dead. Because there is no life in them. We are talking about the life of God. We are talking about the life that is eternal. We are talking about the life that is life. There is no life in them. Even though they are in church, they might be in pulpit too, but they are living obituaries. They are living walking corpses. They are walking around, but they are dead. That's the deadness we are talking about. Unfortunately, the church is going so deadly these days. The fire of God is going off in the church because the churches don't want to consider the spirit anymore. It's all about theology. It's all about argument. It's all about how much you can argue, how much you can prove your point. But we have a rule, we have a guiding principle that the church is the church of Jesus, and Jesus must be the controller, the decider of what goes on in the church. It doesn't matter how much you have read, how much degree you have. It doesn't matter your position, how big you are, or how big your tummy is. Because those tummies sometimes are filled with vagabonds, are filled with scorpions, are filled with vipers. It's about the word of God. Bible says that God is not a respecter of man. God does not respect no man. Any man that does not respect God is not respected. It's so sad what goes on in the church this time around. Church has turned to entertainment center. Where people go to feel good. No. You don't come to church to feel good. No. You come to church to be changed, to be transformed. What changes and transforms is not feeling good. Because the word of God in the church will purge you as gold is being poured. The word of God, when you open yourself to the word of God, you have no reason to laugh. Because the word of God will show you the dirtiness of your life. The word of God will show you the badness of the way you live. The word of God will show you your wrong ways. Something nobody can talk to you about, the word of God will open it to you. Because God is not a respecter of man. So we don't come to church to feel good. We come to church to be transformed, to look more like Jesus. That's why we come to church. To look more like the owner of the church. Not to look more like the world. When we begin to import things in the world, what happens in the world is coming into the church. What are we doing? Whose are we? Whose do we stand for? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Now, there are a few rules, and I will sit down. I will talk about this. Do not live by the dictates of your flesh. If you want to be the son of God and want to receive the blessings of God, do not live by the dictates of the flesh. The flesh has a law that it demands. That is why when you are doing spiritual exercise, you are told about fasting, subduing the flesh so that the spirit will rise up. The spirit is a gentleman. He does not struggle with nobody. He does not fight with nobody. So when you allow the flesh to be on the top, he will just be there quiet, appealing to you quietly. Why don't you let me in? When you subdue the flesh, he comes up. Both of them cannot work together at the same time. It is either you are living by the Spirit or you are living in the flesh. There is no two ways. There is no common line between the two. It is one at a time. Therefore, do not live by the dictates of the flesh. The flesh asks for so many things, most especially pride. The flesh wants to show off. Who is like me? The flesh wants to show how mighty. That is why the Bible says that God resists the proud. And he gives more grace to the humble. Until you are able to humble yourself, Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, before the Lord, so that he will exalt you at the due season. Pride. But we forget that no matter what you are, no matter what you have attained, it's God that has allowed you to be that. You can be nobody without him. You can attain nothing without him. pride, if we can deal with that, then we are closer to heaven. But if we cannot deal with that, let's forget about it. Amen. Revenge. Sometimes you find it difficult. One dangerous sickness that goes on in the church is unforgiveness. Why do people not forgive? Because of pride. A whole me. I'm going to show him what stuff I am made of. He tried me. He's not going to go free. That's same pride. So when you talk about so many things, the way we live, you find out it's just about being boastful and being prideful. What does it benefit us? If you gain the whole world and lose your soul in hell. Second rule, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the spirit. How can we have the flesh and we do not obey the flesh? Yes. Like I said before, you have two masters, the flesh and the Holy Spirit. And you can choose one you want to obey. You can never be obeying the two at the same time. You can never be for God and be for the devil. God and devil does not have any partnership at all. It is either you belong to God or you belong to the devil. So therefore, mortify the flesh. It's simple humility. There are so many things that are going on in your life. There are so many attitudes and characters that you are struggling with. Have you committed it to God? Anger, malice, unforgiveness, call it whatever you can call it. Those things, you can allow the Spirit to handle it. You cannot fight it by yourself. You cannot stop being angry by fighting anger. You can stop being angry by submitting yourself to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with you in the area of anger. You can stop being proudful if you are very honest. Lord, look at me. I am so proudful. And I know it's against your word. Holy Spirit, I cannot help myself. Please help me. Well, that's a good prayer, but before you pray that prayer, be ready to go through. That's why I said we don't come to church to feel good. Because if you pray that prayer, it will be answered though, but the way of the answer is humble. God will make you nothing to make you something. You know, the Bible says he took us out to bring us in. He took them out of Egypt to bring them in to the promised land. But it was not an easy way, an easy transition at all. All through the way to the promised land. So that is how, whenever you submit yourself to God to work on you about any kind of threat in you that is not good, it is not going to be funny. That is why you must make up your mind that this is really what I want. And be ready. No matter how God works with you, be ready to accept you. I tell you, if you talk about God humbling somebody, I can tell you from now till the next 3 days, experiences of divine humility. A whole me, yes, of truth, because you belong to 6 feet. Before you know it, you go into that hole. So who are you? If you are a great person, then you are not going to die. All those things we take time struggling to make the wealth and the world. By the time we die, we don't even know what happens to it. So many times, people, some families are so much divided because of a wealth made by somebody who is dead. Now the wealth is no longer a blessing to the family, but has scattered the family, and everybody is against the other. And people kill each other because of the wealth. And maybe the man that made that wealth was focusing on that wealth and forgetting God. Many devilish blessings still come to your way If we only look at the blessing and don't seek to see if God is inside of it, devil will trap you with it. Because devil will present to you like, you know the way we just, if you want to catch a rat, you put the rat, you put some things that attract the rat. You know? And the rat will be so long-throated, running to eat that thing. Bam! The trap will catch him. That's what the devil does to us all the time. All that glitters, they say, is not good. It is not everything that looks good is good. Please, I beg you, let God be the first in everything you do. If you are so confused about anything, sit down and say, God, I am so confused about this thing. I don't know if you are in it. But if you are not in it, even though I go, let me not succeed. That's a good prayer. Because one thing we don't know is that God does not joke with our prayers. We think we pray and he doesn't answer. He does. Commit your way unto him. Allow yourself to be led by him. So tell yourself who you are. Tell yourself that you belong to God. Tell yourself that God is your father. And tell every other person that you belong to God. Your life might be confusing to them if they don't understand that you belong to God. Because the way we live contradicts the way the world lives. If they understand you belong to God, meaning that you are obedient, submissive to God, that will save you a whole lot of temptation. They'll say, for this one, forget about him. You will never succeed because he's a church man, church woman. That's fine. It will save you a lot. So to yourself, so that your confidence will be established, and to others, so that they will know who you are. Believe the word of God. Please, I beg you, none of this is a lie. Bible says, let all men be liars, but let only God be true. I have proved this, and that is why I'm talking to you about it. And I want you to prove it. The word of God is true. Whatever he says you are is what you are. Whatever he says you can do is what you can do. So the word of God is so true that it is proved. The Bible says the word of God has been proved so many times. And the word is true. So believe the word of God. Whatever God says about you in his word, believe it. Whatever God he says he is to you, believe it. Whatever God says he can do for you, believe it. What God have done for others, he can also do for you. There's no partiality with God. Amen. Amen. Confess the Lordship of Jesus in your life. Very important. Confession. Bible says, if you shall believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. What does that mean? If you believe in your heart and do not confess, no salvation. There is power in confession because we are controlled by what we say. Our life is characterized by what we say about us, about people. That's why most of the time I warn parents, please, no matter how angry you are, be very watchful how you talk to your children. Devil does not hear I was angry. No. Devil wants you to curse him out and he will execute that curse. You stupid child. That's what the devil wants to hear. Oh, your child wants to be stupid, then the devil will give him more stupidity. Be very careful. Our mouth, God created by a spoken word. And the same power he gave to us, especially parents to children. You have so much power over your children that whatever you say is very effective in their life. Prayers. Tell the whole world Jesus who he is. Tell the whole world what he has done for you. Sometimes you don't even know. And actually, most of the time, when you begin to confess and testify of the goodness of God in your life, you are more encouraged and strengthened to face the battle that you are in at the present time. The more you recount the past blessings, the past breakthroughs, the past miracles, the more you are hopeful and strengthened and encouraged, and you are sure of tomorrow. Such confessions help not just every other person, but you as a person. Because the more you confess it, the more the reality comes to you. The more you see the goodness of the Lord. But most often, we are always recounting prayers that God has never answered. We are always recounting what we think he has not done, but we never recount what he has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The Lord is good. Good to you. Good to me. Good to everyone. Let's look for his goodness. Let's confess his goodness. Let's share his goodness to ourselves and to others so that he will continue to be glorified in our lives.